The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the Kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be. In New York Harbor, the Statue of Liberty stands with torch held high. She faces the Atlantic Ocean and the old countries beyond with her back turned toward the countries she honors. She holds high the hope of liberty, not just for the United States, but to the entire world. Many, many people came to the United States and passed by the Statue of Liberty on their way to Ellis Island and processing into the United States in the 1880s. In 1986, the Statue of Liberty was refurbished when President Ronald Reagan relit the Torch of Liberty on July 3, 1986. Mass choirs sang the words of Emma Lazarus' tribute to our nation and the statue standing before our nation's open door. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore, send these, the homeless, the tempest, the tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. In the book, The Gospel and the American Dream, historian Bruce Shelley writes, in one hand, liberty holds a torch of freedom, and in the other, the table of law, and in the other, the tablet of law. The torch challenges the forces of darkness and tyranny. The tablet of law reminds us that liberty, degenerating into license, is but another form of slavery. True freedom for others and for yourself as well is only possible in a community of civic virtue. And that is the message of the Ten Commandments. God brought a despised people out of bondage. They would not experience true liberty, however, by merely trading one form of bondage for another. Deliverance from Egypt tyranny could easily be replaced by servitude to self and possessions. But God's Ten Commandments were not given to limit and destroy the freedom of his people, or they weren't given to limit the freedom of any people. And we know that God taught commandments to Adam and Eve and of Eden. God's commandments have been in force ever since man has been on earth. The purpose of God's law is deliverance, not domination. Obedience does not subjugate, it saves. Statutes of Liberty. Over 200 years of bondage were ended. The children of Israel left one alien culture to enter another. Soon they would be surrounded by people who worshiped strange gods in strange ways. Sexual perversion were a part of this false worship. The temptation for Israel to compromise their beliefs and to blend their faith with the false religion of the pagans would be constant. God met his people in Sinai in the desert between Egypt and Canaan, and God spoke all these words. And these are the very words that God taught Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and that God taught through his prophets and patriarchs before the flood and after the flood. And here he is teaching the nation of Israel those same commandments. As we know that up until that time, the world had rejected God's law. And God brought out a special people through Abraham, because Abraham was the progenitor of the nation Israel. And God hoped that his nation Israel, his special people, would live by his law and set the example to all other nations around. So here's what God had to speak in the beginning. Yes, in the Garden of Eden, after the flood, and now at this time to the nation of Israel. I am the eternal your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the eternal your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for their sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the eternal your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son, or your daughter, or your manservant, or your maidservant, or your ox or your ass, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord God blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. That's the one that we seem to be hung up on more than any other of God's laws. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the eternal your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Now, my friends, when we hear and study the commandments, the Ten Commandments that God gave to mankind to live by, to regulate his peace, his joy, his health, his happiness, his prosperity, we cannot say that there is a thing wrong with any of them, can we? The Ten Commandments are God's gracious guidelines for human behavior and relationships. All over the world, they forge a foundation for law and morality. Every culture founded on ethical standards includes injunctions such as these. Whether expressed biblically or not, they have never been recalled, rescinded, or reversed. Yes, they are still applying today. They apply in a computer society as well as they did when written in stone at Sinai and when they were given to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They are valid among every race and strata of people. The Ten Commandments tells us how to experience ultimate freedom. The first four show how to relate to God. The last six teach us to relate with one another. They deal with the great issues of life and death, sex, family, work, neighbors, and honesty. God's intention in the Ten Commandments was liberty for all humanity. God offers a glimpse of his heart in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. That's Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. For I know the plans that I have for you. Some translations may have it, I know the thoughts that I have for you, but it's actually plans. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Yes, God had those plans for mankind in the Garden of Eden. He had those plans for mankind before the flood. He had those plans for mankind after the flood as well. Because Adam and Eve sinned. They broke God's law. Sin is the transgression of the law. And Paul states that where there is no law, then there is no sin. So the law existed from the time that Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden, from the time that they were created. God's chosen people were at the edge of a new adventure. His plan for them was good. He yearned to prosper them, to fill them with hope and ensure their future. He issued these warnings to protect them as a father warns his children. What about the bondage of understanding, or what about the bondage of unrestricted living? Most people want nothing to do with the Ten Commandments. They want to be called Christians, but at the same time, they want to do what they want to do. Author Steve Rexroth says, to hear the moral, liberal, so-called Christians tell it, God came down to check out human happenings and then made up his 10-point program to wipe the smiles off their faces. The liberals view the Ten Commandments as old-time guidelines that you try to follow if you can. Or worse yet, they view the Ten Commandments as no longer valid. The gray shadow of situational ethics sweeps our generation. God's you shall not affront our relativism. We are taught that all values are equal, and that notions of bad and good are merely class distinction. Lasting values and timeless truth are thought impossible in this enlightened society. Some secular writers now mourn the absence of absolutes. Alan Bloom's best-selling critique of American higher education, The Closing of the American Mind, proposes no answer to the problem, yet he sees the crisis. Clearly, his analysis is right on target when he says in the introductory paragraph, there is one thing a professor can be absolutely certain of. Almost every student entering the university believes or says he believes that truth is relative. In other words, truth is not black or white. It depends. If this belief is put to the test, one can count on the student's reaction. they will be uncomprehensible. The majority of students believe the relativity of truth is not a theoretical insight, but a moral postulate, the condition of a free society, or so they see it. Truth is relative. That is our society. Truth is relative to what I want truth to be. That's how people think today. Our society seems to believe there are no absolutes anymore. That's called relativism. Everything is relative, but the commands of God clearly says otherwise. They are absolute because God and His standards are absolute. God's word is absolute. They cannot change simply because of public opinion, and they will not change because of public opinion. There is a manual out used by psychologists called the DSM manual. There are different versions that have come out. But if you notice, homosexual behavior was once in the manual before 1970. It was removed because so many people were engaging in that behavior. Before, it was considered a sign of mental illness or depravity. Where the DSM changes, God's word doesn't change. God's word and God's law doesn't change. It calls sin, sin, based on God's holy nature and His holy word. In James 2, James calls God's law the law of liberty. Well, my friends, I see my time is up, but we'll pick this up next week and go right on with it, explaining God's law. In the meantime, if you would like to learn more and understand more about God's word and how God's law applies to you personally and how they would apply to this world, and request our free articles, Can You Believe the Bible? That's important to know. Can you believe the Bible and what God requires of you? There's no cost, no obligation, no one will call on you, no one will ask you for any money. Well, this is Pete Hornbuckle. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.